The Lord be with you.
And with
you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would never have died. Even now, I am sure that God will give you whatever you ask of him. Your brother will rise again," Jesus assured her. "I know he'll rise again," Martha replied, "in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he should die, will come to life. Whoever is alive and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I've come to believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, he who is to come into the world." The Gospel of the Lord. Death is part of the human condition as a result of the sin of Adam and Eve, that all of us, sooner or later, we have to die. But there's a huge difference between those who confront death as a believer and those who confront death as an atheist. The word atheist means someone who denies the existence of God. For an atheist, death is the worst calamity or disaster that could visit anyone. And it leads to despair. But if we're believers, and we are believers, death is not the last word. Rather, the last word is that Jesus rose from the dead. Alleluia. And we participate in the fruits of the resurrection if we're baptized and we're living our Christian Catholic life the way we should be living it. The Gospel today shows how Jesus turns a tragedy into a victory. He turns a tragedy into a glorious victory. You heard part of what will be the greatest miracle that Jesus worked before his own death and resurrection. This is the context. Jesus had a group of friends that lived near Jerusalem in a town called Bethany. And it was a family composed of two sisters and a brother, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Jesus at times would go to their house and he would enjoy their company, a good meal, a good conversation, good friends. But one occasion, Jesus was far away from their house and Lazarus got really sick to the point of death. So his sister sent Jesus a message, very short, "Lord, the one that you love is very sick," referring to Lazarus. So Jesus said, "I will go." When Jesus arrives, Lazarus is already dead for 4 days. He's dead and buried. So Jesus, when he arrives, His sisters are heartbroken, they're crestfallen at the death of their brother who they love very much. So Jesus approaches the tomb and he asks, where was he laid? And they say, he's in the tomb over there. Now, 2,000 years ago, they would bury people in caves and they would be mummified. So Jesus approaches the tomb and says, move back the stone. And don't forget, Jesus, Lazarus is dead for 4 days. So they respond by saying, Lord, he's dead. There's already going to be a stench. There's going to be a smell because they didn't have embalming fluid like the Americans have today. That didn't exist 2,000 years ago. So the bodies, especially in damp, humid, hot environments, the body will start to putrefy or decompose almost immediately. But Jesus insists and says, move back the stone. So they would place a huge stone that would be covering the tomb. So they push back the stone, and then Jesus, with a loud voice, says, Lazarus, come out. And this man who's dead for 4 days comes out of the tomb. That was the greatest miracle in the life of Christ before his own resurrection. And he gave Lazarus back to his sisters, Mary and Martha. Can you imagine the joy of you losing a brother who's maybe 30 years old, he's dead and buried, and then you're sitting at the table with him a day afterward and celebrating the fact that he's come back to life. Can you imagine that? That's unthinkable. Only unless we know that Jesus Christ can work miracles, and stupendous miracles at that. How is this related to what we're doing right now? All of you are here, knew Miguel. I think Miguel was one of the most simple, humble, loving, transparent Christian Catholics that I've ever met. Now, you know him better than me, but he was just had a lot. And he was like a little child in the good sense of the world. He was like a little child, and Jesus says, unless you become like a little child, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. Just to see him would make you smile, because he always had a big smile on his face, and even in the midst of his suffering, he had good spirits, even in the midst of his suffering. So we firmly believe, as Jesus says, you'll know the tree by its fruits. Let me tell you a few of the fruits of Miguel. Miguel had various devotions. First is that he had a great devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Very strong. Very strong. And every month, at the beginning of the month, he'd be giving me a prayer card in honor of the Sacred Heart of Jesus every month, I think for the past 10 years. No, he would approach me, Father Ed, here's the prayer to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Tomorrow's the first Friday of the month. And that was his love was the Sacred Heart of Jesus, which is beautiful. And I think we can learn a lot from that. We should all recognize that God loves us, but we should love him back. The second is that Miguel also had a great love for Mary. I purposely put on this chasuble because most of the people here are Filipinos, right? So this is the Filipino devotion, okay? Our Lady of Perpetual Help. You all know the Filipinos in the Philippines. Even here, you have the famous novena, usually on Wednesday, right? Wednesday is the day. So I purposely put this on so that Mary will help us. Our Lady of Perpetual Help, she wants to help us in our moments of grief. So I purposely put this on so you could be looking at the beautiful image of Mary that I'm wearing during the whole Mass. No? Okay, another thing that Miguel did was, Miguel, the last few years of his life, maybe the past 10 years of his life, his apostolate was, he would make rosaries. He probably made probably thousands of rosaries. He would come and say, here, Father, here's 100 rosaries. Sometimes you give me some of the rosaries. And that's a beautiful, beautiful apostolate, to be making rosaries so that people will be talking and praying the rosary, which the Blessed Mother loves so much. So these are, you can know the tree by its fruits. These are beautiful, beautiful fruits. Okay, let me make one more comment. When I heard that Miguel was very sick, I went to his house in Cerritos, and I gave Miguel the anointing of the sick. Okay, I heard his confession, and he had already received communion from one of our ministers. So he received those three sacraments. Then when he got really sick, I traveled to the hospital, and it was interesting because he was in a coma, and when, I think it was his brother said, Father Ed is here, he almost jumped out of the bed, no? It was kind of interesting because I like Miguel. Miguel liked me a lot, I think. And he almost jumped out of the bed to greet me, no? Then he went back into the coma again. So it was incredible how he responded to the priesthood, which is very beautiful. How he respected the person of the priest. Then I gave him the anointing of the sick. Then we prayed the rosary. We prayed the chaplet of Divine Mercy. And I think Chan said he visited him about 5 days before giving him communion. So he was very well prepared. Very well prepared. Okay, the last thing is this. Do any of you know what day it is today? This is one of the most important days in the church year. Today we celebrate the day in which Mary went up to heaven. Wow. When I die, I want my funeral to be on that day. I tell you, I want my funeral to be on that day. I don't want my funeral to be on the day I was born, because it only comes every 4 years. I'm a leap year baby. No, I don't want it on that day, no. I love my funeral to be on August 15th, because it's the day in which Mary goes up to heaven. So it couldn't be a better day in the whole church year. Of course, Mary going up to heaven. If Miguel is not already in heaven, he's going to be taken up to heaven today. But I invite all of you to keep praying for him. We can never pray too much for our loved ones. The man that I loved most in my life, my father died 2 years ago, and he was a very good man. I'm going to be praying for my father until I die. I will. And I think we should pray for our loved ones until we die. And then once we die, people are going to pray us into heaven. So this is a beautiful day. And even though we're suffering because we're going to be burying Miguel today, there's so many beautiful fruits. Just to think about Miguel gives me a lot of joy. And I hope one day with you to see him in heaven with the Blessed Virgin Mary. Amen.